This morning we will continue through John 3, 1 through 21, although I will not read the whole text today. This is part 2 of You Must Be Born Again. So turn in your Bibles and read along with me as you will. And I'm going to read down only to verse 11. It says, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a leader come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can these things be?' Jesus answered him, 'Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not perceive our testimony. Receive our testimony.'" Let's pray. Father God, as we continue to look at this portion of your word, to survey this text, and that you would bring forth your truth here, and the words that I say today, that you will again help those in this congregation and any others who might hear it later to be able to rejoice in the work that you have done in the lives of all those that you are calling to yourself. We pray, Lord, again, that you would use this word to encourage us today. And we do this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting to me that at this time of year, when so many are giving extra special attention and thought to the birth of baby Jesus, that we are studying this section of Scripture that is what is all about the adult Jesus telling Nicodemus of his need to be born again, or more specifically, from above. Now, I will concede that it is of the utmost importance to give attention to the fact that Jesus was indeed born of man through the agency of an earthly mother, a woman, the then Virgin Mary, which is a wonderful story that I love to tell again and again. So I'll concede that, but we find that it was just as necessary for each one of us to do so in the same way, except that we had earthly fathers. And so we see that the Father is the greatest of all gift givers here, and that he has given Christ. He has given us the gift of his Son, the greatest gift that we can give or be a part of. Again, at this time of year when people's minds are focused on gift giving and such, is to tell people this need. What greater thing can you give somebody than the truth of Christ? Now, again, understanding that those who don't like that gift will clearly reject it and not desire it. But those that are called by God, those who are God's elect, they will receive that gift. And we have to understand that it's not something that we actually give, but it's something that the Father gives. But we also, looking back at Jesus, Jesus was born, as it would be, begotten of the Father, given to a woman, that Jesus was indeed begotten of the Father, not of man. Joseph was not his real father. Joseph was his foster father, stepfather. And so in our understanding of this, we also see that Jesus, because he was begotten of the Father, was a sinless man, and because each one of us is born of a natural father, we also inherit that natural sin. So we have need. We each have need. Well, some of the need has been met clearly in many of you. But we as people all have need of such a birth from above. Now, I just want to go back just a little bit here, if you can indulge me for just a couple of minutes. I don't have a really, really long message today. But I just want to go back to where we see in verse 3 that we looked at clearly, and we'll see this a couple of times, where it says that you must be born again. Now, I wish I could have touched on this last week, but I was running out of time. But here, John will often, as I have stated in other teachings, use words that can sometimes be understood in more than one way. And I think, again, he does this on purpose to get us thinking about these things, because we do need to think. We don't need to just read and say, okay, we need to give consideration. So first we need to look at the word here that is born. What does born mean? An easier understanding of the word, or the easier understanding of it, the easiest, geneo, is to procreate, okay? But if we understand this more clearly, we see that it is the property of the Father. And so there we see, and I believe that the context of what Jesus is saying here, and we need to get this because this is what we're actually trying to tell people. And this is where Nicodemus was having a problem. He was thinking born of women, and Jesus was not saying that it that way. It was meant that we are not just born of man and woman, but we are begotten. Or given as the Son was through the Father, through that spiritual work. The other word that is here, again, is anothen. It's, the easy translation is again, born again. The better understanding for this, I believe, is born from above, or begotten from above. Which was actually the case in Christ. He was begotten from above through the Father. And it is the same work that we see here in this sense. So it says, and this would be the more normal meaning for that. From above or from a higher place. So this is where, when people sometimes get a little weirded out by this. And then John 3:31 says, he who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. And now he's speaking of Jesus here. But it's the same word, by the way, that is used there. It's in born again. It is the same word, anothen, in the Greek. So I want you to understand this. This is more often used this way. If Jesus had really meant that one needs to be born again in the most simplistic understanding of this word, then the questions of Nicodemus would have been more realistic. Because that was the question that Nicodemus had. Well, how can this be? But that's not what Jesus meant. He didn't mean you need to be born again, but you need to be born as from above, begotten from above. The word, the words in the Greek are sometimes quite valuable to look at because they do carry various and sometimes multiple meanings. That applied in one way can mean one thing, applied in another can mean another. So we see this, and here what we are seeing is not an earthly regeneration that Jesus was speaking of, but something that was far greater. And this is where Nicodemus got lost last week. Jesus is saying one thing, Nicodemus is hearing another. And this is often the very thing that we're struggling with, even as more mature Christians in the church. Jesus is saying one thing, we're hearing another. And so we have to expect that when we talk to other people about these things of God, these great and glorious things that Christ has given to us, and we're trying to tell them of this wonderful need, they're going, huh? Because we're saying one thing, and they're hearing another, or they're not getting it at all. At least Nicodemus was grabbing some of it. He was a man who recognized the naturalness of the flesh and said, wait, how can this be then, what you're saying? So we need to do something to help us to be able to, when we're saying these words, these simple words, because we do need to say these to people. We don't want to just say, well, you need to be regenerated. Jesus himself said you need to be born again. He said, truly, truly, you need to be born again if you want to see the kingdom of God. And by the way, where it says there, the word see can be able to, better understood to mean, to obtain and to know. The word kingdom of God can be used in two different ways. It can mean the realm, speaking of the place, or the reign, which is speaking of something that is taking place. So again, sometimes it just goes into the words and look at them. Last week we were blessed. We got down to verse 5. But before we move on, I just want to pick a few things. Again, that we need to put this whole passage in perspective going down. And I encourage you to read down through verse 21 again later today or through the week. Because we're going to be in this for a couple more weeks yet. Before we get out of it. Look through it and read it for yourself. Try to piece the whole thing together and see both what Christ is saying here. And this is the great necessity of man. Man needs to be born again. If he can't, he has no part in this kingdom of God. This is essentially the beginning point. Now, we can say that before that, the Holy Spirit, well, we can go all the way back to what Charles talked. Let's go back before the foundations of the world where God elected, and we see the process. But there is a specific time, a point, where a man must go through that process. So this week, we'll be giving some more consideration, some, again, deeper consideration to what Jesus spoke to Nicodemus and how he now speaks to us as well. By the way, I haven't done this for a few weeks because I just get lost sometimes in the subject. But kids, if you've got a pencil and paper, you can draw me a picture of Nicodemus. I don't want you to draw Jesus. I want you to draw Nicodemus sitting there and kind of thinking about all this and what he might have looked like. Just give me a picture of what you think Nicodemus might have looked like as he was sitting here asking Jesus all these different questions. And Nicodemus, poor Nicodemus, like sometimes you are when I ask you questions in Sunday school, he was thoroughly confused. He just didn't have a clue as to what was really going on. So we'll be looking at just what, again, is meant by being born again. And we'll be giving some more thought as why this did not seem to be something that Nicodemus was able to understand, or at least not easily. As I mentioned last week, I believe that Nicodemus got it. But it took a while. Yeah, I don't know if he got it that day or if he got it later on, but I believe he got it. One of the things that we must give serious thought to is the fact that being born again, as we have stated earlier, is not something that you decide to do. This is not something that you sit around and ponder until it has been brought to you that there is a need to be born again. You don't decide this on your own. This is something that God does in you. Again, we looked at the text last week, and I'm going to read it again. And I'm going to bring a couple others to you that you can look at. And this is just a simple one in 1 Peter 1:3, where it said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again. He has caused us to be born again. And then you can look in Ephesians 1, and I'm not going to read these because they're longer passages, 3 through 8, and 2, verses 4 through 8. And give them consideration in the same way. One commentator said this, and I really like this. It was one of the most inspiring ways of saying this to me, that there is no evolution from flesh to spirit. And again, I really like the statement because it clarifies the understanding that this is not something that we can eventually grab onto on our own, or even something that we might, by our nature, grow into. But it points to the reality that to be born again is something that is given to us. This again takes us back to that gift of the Father of giving us Christ and that work that Christ has done upon the cross. This is all part of that. God gave His Son so that we might come to the place where we can be born again. It is never something that we are to understand is our own earned wage on account of any good works in ourselves. But I like the way that he said there is no evolution from flesh to spirit, because we're going to get down there where it starts talking more clearly about this. Another way to see this is that the road to kingdom is not one of human striving. Although we are called to strive to excellence in our walk with Christ, that is once our walk with Christ has already been established. And once it's established, it's established. So we see that. And it is not something of works or anything that has ever been excellent in us. So again, we remind ourselves, or we need to remind ourselves, there's nothing good in me. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I often get reminded of that quote by the Pentecostal pastor who said, if there's anything good in me, it's God, all the rest is me. And that's the truth. If there's anything good in us, it's Christ. The rest of us is just me, who I naturally am by myself. Last week, again, we finished at least in degree, chapter, verse 5. Today we'll continue with this. And we'll begin here, actually, in verse 6, because 5 was a tough one, and I had a lot of comments on that. On 6, where it continues to show the response of Jesus to Nicodemus and to his seemingly foolish questions. Verse 5, again, Jesus said, let me read that. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Verse 6 said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And 7 says, do not marvel. Now, I like those words right there. Do not marvel here, Nicodemus, that I said to you, you must be born again. Now, you notice in the first, in verse 3, where it says, unless one. And it's a little milder, and unless one is born again. Here he says, you must be born again. Now, he says, that which is flesh is the flesh. And this is speaking more, and we need to understand this, of the literal flesh, because flesh can be understood to mean a number of things, especially in the New Testament, where it speaks of flesh, and we say the flesh, and we're speaking of different sin, and we're speaking of the world itself and all that it contains. So we say the flesh. But here we need to see it in a literal sense, and the limitations that the flesh brings with it. We're limited. How we might be able to understand and discern the Word of God is all part of being in the flesh. And I say in the flesh, I'm talking in sinful flesh here, because that's who we are. How we might be able to, or how should we be able to more fully understand the riches of God's creation and God's salvation? And we need to look at both of this when we're understanding the flesh. There seems to be, from the words that Jesus uses here, and I believe that we are meant to understand this, that there is a very strong distinction. How he says it. He doesn't say, well, there's flesh and then there's spirit. He says, that which is born of flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do you see where he says that? You see, you're born in the flesh, and then you're born again. He actually explains it without, as far as I can see, without direct intention to, or maybe he did. He says, if you're having trouble understanding this, Nicodemus, with how can one be born again, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, or above, that which is above is Spirit. And we need to see also in this, that where he's speaking of the flesh, he's speaking of the flesh as it is after the fall, because before the fall, there was a harmony. There wasn't that disjointedness in man, where there was the spirit was split. Essentially, we were spiritually dead. We were still physically alive, but we were spiritually dead. And so now there was a need, because the original man, Adam, had no need to be born again. He was already right. The same as Jesus, the second Adam, has no need to be born again. But after the fall, there was that split. So Jesus says this. And so we see that strong distinction between the flesh and the spiritual, and that which is of the flesh. And how clearly we are, or we should be, to lay hold of the distinction and see it in passages like Galatians 5:16, where it says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit, which is different than that of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. Do you see this enmity that's presented here? For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. There's a battle going on in the spirit and the flesh it talks about here. But I just wanted to show the distinction. And then in Galatians 5:19-25, and I'm not going to read that, we see, and you know this passage, this is the deeds of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Again, opposing, contrasting each other completely. Ephesians 6:10-18 points of the need of spiritual man to have this armor of God that we put on. And read through that and you see it. You see it in Philippians 3:1-11. We see again this picture given. So we want to understand what Jesus is trying to say to this man as he is dealing with this. And then he says again, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Don't get all disjointed about this. This should not be that hard for you to lay hold of, Nicodemus. And then he says these words in verse 8. And I think these words are kind of soothing, and they help. They help bring about a picture here. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now this kind of keeps directing him in the right place, but he's still not getting it. And we can see this because Jesus has to go down. We still have to get down to 21 before we see the fullness of this being revealed. But this is, again, this is what we want to see, that this is a process. And it's a process of revelation upon revelation. And when we deal with people in our real everyday life, we can bring the same words to them. We can just say, well, Jesus said this, but you know what? Some of the questions they're going to ask us are going to be different. And we have to be ready for them. We have to be ready to work them in and to bring out, again, what the truth says about that. Many times you'll hear in conversations, because this is the world we live in, well, I do good stuff. And so we have to be able to clearly show them that they may do nice stuff, but in the eyes of God, it's all filthy rags. And we need to be able to present that. But we need to, you notice, Jesus never gets disjointed here in any way. He doesn't get agitated with them, but he just keeps responding to him in ways that we usually have to think it out a little more. But Jesus just responds to him, and he says this. And it's a beautiful picture where Nicodemus is having the trouble understanding this, and Jesus says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from. Nicodemus, this is going through his mind. He's grasping this. He knows that what he's hearing is true. And so Jesus says, so it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit. You don't know where it came from exactly. You don't know where it's going. You know it's coming from God, but how it's coming, we're not sure. How do I be born again? It's kind of like a wind, Nicodemus. And the parallel that is used here should be at least in some way easy for us to discern. But for those who are without the Spirit of God, even such things as this might escape their attention. I remind you that we're looking at these things through the eyes of those who have heard the stories countless times through our lives. Some of them through your whole lives, that's all you've heard. Some of them half of your lives, and you've heard them. And yet there are people still sitting in the churches today around this country and around the world, many who have been in the churches all their lives, that they're still like Nicodemus here. They've got it down. They can recite stuff to you, and yet they've never been actually born again. I don't know if any of you, you don't need to raise your hands, have had the blessing of meeting people. I have. I've met people like this who have been in their 60s and 70s, who have been church-raised people. And at some point, through the preaching of the Word, and God only Himself knows why it took that long, something happened. And they finally recognized that although they acknowledged that there was a need for people to have a Savior in their life, that they had actually never had a Savior in their own life. We know that there's a process. What do we teach? We teach people. People use, quote, the sinner's prayer. Not real big on the sinner's prayer, but the ideas that are behind it are good, because what's it called? The sinner's prayer. So the acknowledgement there is first that the people that are praying this prayer know they're sinners. And that is one of the first things we want to teach people. You're a sinner who is damned outside of Christ, and you are in need of salvation. And to have that salvation, to see this kingdom of God, what must I do? you must be born again. It's a wonderful picture that is given to us. And then Jesus says this, and I like the response. Nicodemus is true to form here when he responds, how can these things be? Well, Nicodemus, what don't you understand about the wind blowing and where it comes from and where it goes and how this happens? But I don't think he's talking so much of the wind, but he's talking to all that Jesus has said to him so far here. And he's responding, and he's been pondering, and he's wanting to grasp. I believe that in this picture that we see, that there's at least something taking place. And Jesus' answer to him here, once more, Jesus does not give a good answer that we would expect, the one that we want. Well, here's how it is, Nicodemus. But he rebukes him instead, which is kind of a blow. And I think it's a general rebuke, but not too general. Because Jesus answered him and said, are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? And I know where Nicodemus is at there. Because I've had people ask me stuff before, and I thought, I should know this stuff. And I didn't. And so I know where he's coming from there. And you do not understand these things. And then Jesus, after he asked this question, this simple but terrifyingly hard question, he says once more those words, this is the third time in this passage, truly, truly, or Nicodemus, listen to me. Listen to me. I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. And I'm going to read verse 12 here. If I have told you of earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? We'll leave it there because that's a good place to stop, to ponder. How then do we do this? If people can't even understand this concept of where the wind's coming from and such, and you're struggling with this, if I'm telling you of that which is tangible, how can I tell you of that which is untangible and yet obtainable through that process that Jesus keeps drawing him to be born again so that he might become a part of the kingdom of heaven. Both now, by the way, and when I used those words earlier, the realm and the reign, we're already a part of that. Jesus Christ is already reigning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will never be more King and Lord than he already is. But we still have the joy to wait for the fullness of the realm of the kingdom of God as we see given to us in Scripture.